Welcome to What's Poppin' with Pastor Mark, where we get to know the community of Prince of Peace a little bit better, as well as bring the message from Sunday into our midweek. Today's guest is Kara Berg. Thank you for coming, Kara.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be your first guest.
Oh, thank you so much. So first question for you, how long have you been at Prince of Peace?
I came to Prince of Peace in August of 2015, so that's coming up to 7 years or somewhere around that. I don't do math real good.
What's your official title?
My official title is Director of Music for the church and school, and a couple years ago we tacked on worship arts because I do a lot with worship arts.
What's a worship art? What does that mean?
So anything that happens during the worship services that is more of an artistic nature. So obviously leading the praise bands, but I have a natural just love for art and design. And so I think that's been a joy to be able to bring that to some of the ways that we present things, just the slides or series images or even the things that we put on stage up at the front of the worship center to decorate. So
okay.
Yeah.
So a lot.
Sure.
Like all the pretty things that happen, interesting things that happen up front, you have a finger in doing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. What is something that you do at Prince of Peace that most people don't know you do?
It's hard to know what people don't know, but I think it surprised a few people to learn that I do our video editing. So during COVID, Pastor Zelt and I did all our video editing, but I'm still doing video editing. I make our Ministry Moments video every week, and it's a skill that I just learned because of COVID, which I'm thankful for, but I know how to video edit, and I like it.
All right, so hard question for someone who is a worship leader.
Uh-oh.
What is your current favorite worship song?
That is a really hard question to answer because there are so many great songs out there right now, or anytime, really. So for me, my favorite, personal favorite, and I'm going to cheat here, I went to a singer-songwriter retreat for Lutheran church workers, just like 20, 25 of us over the last 3 days. And we co-wrote together 21 songs. And a lot of those are my favorite songs right now.
You wrote 21 songs the last three days?
Yeah, we were divided up into groups and we each tackled, you know.
And they're all good?
Well, I mean, in a sense, I mean, not all of them are ready to get recorded right now officially, but in a sense, they're all good because we were making these and writing these to honor God and to serve the church. And so we were like-minded in purpose. And then everybody's talents were being put forward to just do that. And so it wasn't competitive at all. It was like a linked arms group process. And so, but some of them were actually just outstanding and they're really strong earworms for me right now.
Huh, okay. Yeah. This is a good question then. How many songs that you have written or co-written do we do at Prince of Peace?
Oh, great. Most of them are VBS songs. Mm-hmm. And I'd say there's probably 3 or 4 that we do a lot, especially at the school for chapel still. Or five, and then I think we still use a lot of arrangements that I've made, so that's kind of humbling. Honestly, it's cool, but it's also really humbling.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Good. Let's talk about the message from last week. So we talked about 1 John chapter 2 verses 28 through chapter 3 verse 10, and the title of the message was Children of God. And we really sort of stayed in that section of scripture for the majority of the message. Was there anything that jumped out at you that you thought was interesting or good or maybe even bad or caused you to react in some way? I need 2 things for you if possible.
Okay. So I think one of the things that I've enjoyed about learning the word through hearing you, God speak through you, Pastor Mark, is that I've enjoyed hearing some definitions of these really, you know, consistent Christian words that I've heard through my whole life, but hearing them redefined in a way, not like a new definition, but just a new way of looking at that. So one of the things that you said was that sin is going against the will of the Father. And sometimes when I think about explaining sin to like my kids or whatever, it seems like the definition should come from the things that break the Ten Commandments. Those are the sins, you know. Or if you feel like bad or naughty afterwards, that's a sin. But really, sin is a lot broader than that and a little bit sneakier in a way.
Yeah, because it's not just the things that we do that are wrong, air quote, you know.
Right.
They're also the things of omission, where they are the good things that we don't do, where it's like, well, I should have helped that person because that's God's will for me to do, and I didn't do it. That's also a sin.
Right. And then, like, I don't know if you're like this, but sometimes I will kind of spiral in my thinking, like, well, I didn't know I should do the thing, but maybe I shouldn't have done the thing. And then, but I don't, so, and then I'm like waffling in this gray area. And even that is evidence of my brokenness, which is sin.
Which is fantastic. So I had a prof at the seminary who was very practical. And he said when he was in the parish, people would come up to him and say, is this a sin, Pastor? And his answer was, if you have to ask the question, knock it off.
Mm.
Right? It's a sin. Like, as soon as you start questioning it, just don't do it.
Yeah. Yep. I had a friend I had lunch with for a long time that was the lead guitarist of Cutlass. Never name drop, but there I did it. His name's Ryan Shrout, but he always said, like, man, my dad taught us, if you have to sneak to do it, then it's probably wrong. And like, okay. So that's like one box that sin can be in, but really like anything that's going against the will of the Father. So, you know, when I lose my temper and I take it out on somebody, like that is going against the will of the Father. It's not wrong to be angry, but to sin in my anger is like, that's, you know, that's bad. Just an example.
Or even like, and we'll talk about this a bit more probably in a moment because of our previous discussion, but vocationally, right? Mm-hmm. Those things that God has given us talents or circumstances to do as roles in his world, those can become sinful too, right? And so something as simple as me being a mountain biker, I can start really getting into mountain biking and racing and making that my priority, which doesn't look bad on the outside, and just active, having fun, and, you know, staying in shape, but that can become sort of my identity. Mm-hmm. And then that vocation becomes sinful by going against the will of God for me in his world.
Right. Yeah. So then the big question becomes like, what is the will of the Father? Mm. How do I know that I don't want to go against the will of the Father? So how do I know that what I'm doing is part of the will of the Father? And so that definition of righteousness then is to follow the will of the Father. Okay, so I want to pursue righteousness or be in practice of it. Yeah. So I got to practice. And you totally missed an opportunity to say, practice? What you talking about?
We're talking about practice?
Practice. But you didn't. You held back.
I did.
That was like fruit of the spirit, self-control. Nice job. But I just had to bite my tongue during that part. But yeah, like what is, so if I'm practicing being righteous, that implies then that I'm not going to be perfect at it. It's something that I'm working on. So I appreciated that definition as well. Yeah.
Anything else that jumped out at you?
Yeah. So and you kind of just alluded to this, but that idea of vocation, you know, what, for me, when I think about vocation, it's not just my job. It's not, you know, it's that identity. Where do I get my identity from? And it's also my why. It's a motivator from, like, what is my why? Like, where am I coming from? What's my motivation? It's my, why do I do the things I do? What's my, like, bottom line? Where am I coming from? So is that what you had been thinking about with vocation?
Yeah, and we've talked about this offline as one of the staff members of Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. I think vocation is a very important aspect of the Christian life and understand what that means. And so it's not just the occupation that you have. It's any role you have in God's creation that he has gifted you to have or circumstantially you have. So like being a son or a daughter, you had no choice in, but that's a vocation that you have. But being a music leader like you are, that's gifts and talents, and you've chosen to have that vocation.
Right.
So how do we look at vocations and order them in a way that is God-pleasing according to his will? And so where do we start?
As a baptized child of God. I am a child of God. That's where I start.
baptized child of God. You're forgiven and free. You're brought into God's kingdom because of what Jesus has done for you, right? And then you look at your other vocations. And like, so for me, I am a husband. I am a father. I am a pastor. I'm a mountain biker, like I talked about earlier. Now, I can get those vocations out of order. And when I do, life just isn't quite what it's supposed to be for God's will for me. So if I start practicing for a mountain bike race and that takes all my time up, and so I don't spend time with my daughter, then I'm not being the father I'm supposed to be. And so things get out of whack and that relationship starts to be different than what it's supposed to be. Or say I spend all my time trying to parent my daughter as a father and spend no time with my wife. Well, then that's out of whack too, because she's my primary vocation besides being a baptized child of God. I'm one with her. And so that has to come first. Then being a father comes, and then being a pastor. And like, those things aren't just for pastors, right? It's for anybody. Anyone's vocation can get out of whack and it can strain relationships. So once we start to understand, starting with baptized child of God, and then figuring out maybe what those top three or four vocations are and what order they should be playing out in our lives. And they can switch up throughout your life for sure, you know, and it's not a hard and fast thing. But once you understand that, you can see why relationships are being strained in your life. And if you reorder things, usually you can start to work on those relationships.
Right. Yeah. And like, there are some roles that you have or what were you calling them?
Vocations
yeah. That are like prominent, like when you were a child before you had moved out of your parents' house, like you honor your father and your mother. Mm-hmm. Like that's huge. You're, as a son, that's a vocation, but then you get up, you know, you leave, you get married. That's no longer huge. But if that were to suddenly surface and become all encompassing, that would be a problem. So yeah, I also have, this is a thought I had, and I, you know, I hope it's not too heavy, but when you, a person, me, when I think about my vocation and the sequence or the order or the ranking of those, I often think about them as like, what if they were to become no more? Mm. Like a couple of years ago, my sister-in-law died suddenly. And one of the things that was so important about the vocation, the great job she did as a mom, was that she always pointed her sons to Jesus. Mm. So then when she did die, they knew to turn and look at her. So I think about that sometimes, like, you know, if God forbid, like my children were to pass away, or I lost my job here, or my son, you know, my husband, you know, flew away to Canada, you know, if any of those things were to suddenly get picked off.
Yeah.
Would I still be centered in Christ?
Would you still be you?
Would I still be me? Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Baptized child of
God. And that kind of lets me know, like, that's my litmus test. Like, am I out of whack with any of these things? Because my motivation, my bottom line should always be, like, baptized child of God.
Yeah.
And my response to loving my husband the right way is because I'm a baptized child of God. My kids, because I'm a baptized child of God. Yeah. My excellence at my job, which I absolutely love, is a response to being a baptized child of God.
And that carries that love aspect into it, right? Being self-sacrificial, attitude of action for the good of the other, according to the will of the Father. In those vocations, you're starting with, okay, I'm a baptized child of God. How do I love the other people in my vocations that God's mm-hmm. placed before me the way that He has loved me?
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's such a challenge too, because I think it was Martin Luther said, you know, if you ever, back to that sinning thing, like, here's where we mess up. How do you know if you've got it right? He said, you should always feel like you're squirming a little bit. Like, if it's not always black and white. And so sometimes the kids are going to rank above the spouse. Yep. And sometimes, like during Holy Week, my role here as a worship leader gets like a huge priority. But thankfully, because my husband and my kids are baptized child of God as well, they recognize and support that. So it's something to always be communicating about.
And there's also those aspects where, as we talked about on Sunday too, where you could do that whole purifying thing too, where once you see yourself as a baptized child of
that
God.
That was the next thing I needed to talk to you about your right, food go, on the floor
go,
problem.
Go on.
Well, no, we were just going to have an intervention during this podcast about you eating off the floor. But that was such a great visual of like, okay, you know, I'm not going to live this pure and excellent life because it's, I'm shaking my head at you watching you fake pick things off of you. But yeah, it's a great visual of it's not going to be perfectly pure and clean.
Yeah,
it probably wasn't even perfectly pure and clean in the package, to be quite honest with you, you know, like. And with all the packaging that we've done during COVID, like how safe is anything?
Everything, yeah.
But the idea that we are a work in progress, mm-hmm. and what makes us pure and good ultimately will be Christ and
right.
that newness of life that we have Him.
And looking through His lens of us, right? Mm-hmm. Which then helps us see, oh, maybe I should be picking this off myself.
Yes.
You know, every day because it keeps coming back, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, one of my favorite verses is Galatians 2:20, and the latter half of that verse says, "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith through the Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me." That life I live, as flawed as it may be and covered with hair or germs, mm-hmm. it's the goodness of Christ in me that hopefully is what surfaces.
Well, that's where He's our advocate, right? All right. Anything else about the message?
I thought it was great. And it's God's word. And I'm so thankful that we get to hear it and dig through 1 John. I think it's been great.
It's a fantastic letter.
It
is really good. One last question for you.
Okay.
Pulled pork is an underrated condiment. Yes or no?
Oh, I've never thought of pulled pork as a condiment. It's always been more of the center of my entree. So this is a paradigm shift. Hang on. Let's see. Do I eat it with coleslaw? Yes. But coleslaw feels more like the condiment there. I don't know.
Can you name a food that adding pulled pork to would not be better?
You are down with double negatives. Let's see. Gosh. Orange juice?
That's the drink.
Okay.
Yeah.
What food. If I'm on a liquid diet?
The fact that you're struggling shows you that it is an underrated condiment.
Oh, I'm Jewish. I forgot. I can't have pulled pork. I'm just kidding. Okay. Wow. It would be great with scrambled eggs.
Yep.
That checks a box. It'd be great on toast. That checks a box. Mostly I'm into breakfast, which...
Burgers.
Yep.
Pancakes.
Next to my coffee, my black coffee, that'd probably be actually really tasty. Yep. Okay.
Salads. It goes well on salads.
Yeah. Doesn't mix well with ranch. Everything goes with ranch. Bacon goes great with everything goes with bacon. I lied. I'm not Jewish. I eat bacon. yeah. It's good. Okay.
Yeah. Underrated condiment.
Yep.
Right?
It is now.
Yeah.
Now I know.
Yeah,
and
now you know.
I'll call my husband and let him know what we're going to have with dinner tonight.
Yeah, everyone should have pulled pork in the refrigerator at all times just in case you gotta spice up your
meal. So do you guys have like a sauce agreement?
Well, it's just smoked pulled pork.
Okay.
And then you add sauce as needed.
Okay, good. Okay, not pre-sauced.
No,
right.
No, yeah.
All right, I'm on board.
Thank you so much, Kara Berg.
You're welcome. Thank you.